Hi, fantasy readers. This is Corinne Norton, your fellow book binger. And you're listening to the Finding Fantasy Reads podcast, where you can test out a new fantasy story every other week to find your next favorite author. You'll want to stick around today if you like whimsical stories with bumbling new fairy godmothers. It's written by Jennifer Dyer, who we've featured before because I can't get enough of her fairy godmother stories. Jennifer writes books spanning from high-tech thrillers to swoony romantasy and space opera, plus some cozy fantasy on the side. You can always expect kissing, danger, and fierce heroines in her books. While she can't wield a lightsaber or run a 4-minute mile, she does have a background in martial arts and a love of found family, redemption, rescue dogs, and chocolate chip cookies. That one actually really made me laugh because I like to run a 13-minute mile, and I'm pretty sure most people walk faster than that. Stick around to the end or check out today's show notes to see where you can find more from Jennifer, as well as how to enter our giveaway. For now, please enjoy The Midnight Disappointment by Jennifer Dyer. Chapter 1. Working at Penelope's Potion Emporium had taught me 3 things. Love potions pair best with chocolate. Crafting spells for fairy dust required delicate wand work. And Penelope Honeydew never did her own work, which is why she hired me. I cast a tell-me-the-time spell with a flick of my wand. 5:45, only 15 minutes until the shop closed, and I could get ready for Brock Marzipan's Valentine Ball. My dress hung in the back room, so I could leave directly from work. It would be my first night off in months. I planned to dance it away with super cute and super successful Brock. Between my gorgeous scarlet ball gown and my super sincere smile. What? I do smile occasionally. Anyway, tonight was my chance to convince Brock and his growing candy empire to go into business with... Excuse me? A customer held a box of love potion chocolates under my nose. Are these guaranteed? I blinked, and the fairy came into focus as my daydreams evaporated. Sigh. She had thick glasses that gave her owlish eyes, and her youthful voice belied the deep wrinkles covering her face. Note to self, don't forget sunscreen. I cleared my throat. All our love potions are from our novelty line. I pulled my wings in tight to squeeze past a display of anti-aging fairy dust and led her to the shelf stacked with red-boxed love potion products that included chocolates, candles, and more. Penelope's potions were so weak they had almost no effect, but that didn't stop fairies from buying. According to Penelope, hope sells. The customer fluttered her wings, shaking the box. But do they work? I gave her a practiced smile. Penelope's potions, while potent, are not a guarantee. If a true love connection isn't made by midnight, the spell wears off. Gah, I hated that bogus sales pitch. But I had bills to pay. And Hidden Woods' job market had taken a downturn since the pumpkin disaster at the Queen's last ball. The customer pursed her lips, and wrinkles almost swallowed her eyes. But I want a guarantee. Don't we all? My own track record with love was more like a train wreck. It'd be nice to have something foolproof. She chewed her lip, pointing to the chocolates. Fine, but I want boxes no one else has touched. I motioned to the wax seals on the boxes. No one. She flashed a conciliatory smile, revealing missing teeth. Be a dear and get me a dozen from the back, and put those pretty ribbons on them. I exhaled, flying past the checkout counter where Penelope had stacked a few custom orders wrapped in her signature red and gold paper. A pit formed in my stomach. Surely those weren't for me to deliver. I rushed through tying the ribbons, glancing at my dress hanging in the corner. Only 5 minutes, and I could change out of this potion-stained apron. The customer waited at the checkout counter, twirling her wand between her palms. Another smile lifted her wrinkles when she saw me. That's perfect. You're a dear. I wished her the best of luck and dusted the shelves, casting a dozen tell-me-the-time spells. Every night I planned to leave on time, and every night Penelope caught me just before closing. I cast a glance at Penelope's office door. Only 1 more minute without an extra assignment, and I'd be... Poppy! She spelled her door open. We have some deliveries! No and no. I can't tonight, remember? She emerged in a cloud of love potion-laden perfume, wearing a stunning black ball gown that sparkled like the night sky. Jeweled clips held her dark hair off her neck, and that dress plunged low in front. Yeah, she remembered why I wanted the night off. Brock had invited her, too, and Penelope had a different kind of deal in mind for him. She gestured to herself. I can't risk ruining this, and you're not dressed yet. But she turned down her scarlet lips into a pretend pout. Oh, Poppy, you know how much I love letting you work with me, and I'd hate to hire someone in your place. I get at least 10 applications a day. Which is how I found myself flapping through town like a mad fairy, once again doing Penelope's work. Letting me work with her, my wing. I checked the time again. The deliveries had taken me across town and back, and there'd been the mishap with that tree on Tulip Way. But no one had gotten hurt, except me, and I'd put all the chocolates back in the correct boxes. I was sure of it. Mostly sure. But this wasn't the time to get caught up in details. If I hurried, there might still be some dewberry chocolate creams left at the ball. I could only hope Brock was still sober enough to hear me out. It was already past 8, and I still had to get ready. Panting and a sweaty mess, I rushed into the shop. I did my best to spell myself together and tossed on my dress. The red satin contrasted perfectly with my light hair. I couldn't resist twirling, marveling at the way the bottom fluffed out. I felt like Cinderella on the night of the ball. From somewhere in the folds of my dress, a note fluttered to the floor. It had only one word written in Mom's shaky scrawl. Enjoy. My throat got tight. When I'd first received the ball invite, I'd tossed it aside. I couldn't afford a dress on my tiny salary, not with all our other bills. But Mom had pulled the invite from the trash, and though she refused to tell me details, she'd apparently called in a huge favor to get this dress and the glass slippers that now shone on my feet. I applied a second layer of lipstick, nodding at my reflection. I'd been working on some potions of my own at home. At the ball, I planned to dance with Brock and pitch my business proposition. If he and his candy stores were interested in partnering, maybe I could finally quit this job and open my own shop. Tonight was the night. With one last glance in the mirror, I darted out of the shop, only to crash into the chest of a police fairy. Chapter 2. Of all the police detectives in Hidden Wood, it had to be Tiger Sagelake. I hadn't seen him since he left for the academy. His chest had broadened, and he'd obviously been lifting heavy stuff to get those defined muscles. Not that I cared, or would ever care again. He'd made his choice, and I was fine with it. The police station was located in a low building on the far side of Hidden Wood, past the Great Oak and Palace. It was a low-slung building, mostly built underground, which gave the interrogation room its oh-so-charming dungeon vibe. Tiger stood across from me, a table between us. His thick hair was short, and those expressive eyes seemed to be interrogating me without either of us uttering a word. Again, not that I cared. In fact, I had no need to look at him. Yep. I glanced around the plain room, skimming past the scowling detective. Sadly, other than him, there wasn't much to look at. Only a couple stools and a long mirror broken up by the gray stone walls. He pinched the bridge of his nose. Take a seat. I smoothed my dress, fluttering to stay off the sticky floor. Would it kill someone to mop? I didn't want to think about what had caused that stain in the corner. I'm fine up here, thanks. I cringed at the last word. I had nothing to thank him for, unless it was the extra grams of ice cream weight I'd gained after everything. An older fairy fluttered in, carrying a box that looked too familiar. My stomach tied itself into knots. Oh, no. The box was about the length of two hands and wrapped in ornate red paper with lacy gold patterns drawn on it. The same kind of paper that Penelope used to package custom orders at the shop, such as the ones I'd just delivered. I swallowed. Had I mixed up the orders? But a simple mistake shouldn't be a police issue. I'll handle this. The fairy's badge read Detective Ironflutter. Ever since the theft of the original fairy godmother's wand from the Cinderella exhibit at Hiddenwood Museum, Ironflutter had become a regular on Mirror News. She'd been on the trail of her prime suspect, Ivory Winkleclover. Although rumors abounded of Ivory's whereabouts, no one had seen her since the night of the disappearance. Ironflutter slammed the chocolate box on the table. "Start talking." Tiger folded his arms, looking every bit as cold-hearted as the last time I'd seen him. I cleared my throat, flapping harder to stay aloft since my shaking legs wouldn't hold me if I tried. "What in all the woods do you want me to talk about?" My eyes were glued to the box. What had I done? Ironflutter jabbed a finger toward the box. "Start with this." I lifted a shoulder as if I was indifferent, but my heart was hammering and... dark spells. I was sweating. I took a long breath. All I needed was to show up to the ball with a sweat-stained dress. "It looks like a custom order from Penelope's Potions. We deliver them all the time." I tried to sound casual, but my voice cracked. "Can I get some water?" "No." Ironflutter slammed her fists on the table. "You can answer me." Tiger gave her a side eye and slipped out of the room. Alone, Ironflutter seemed to grow larger. "I know you're in league with Ivory Winkleclover. Just tell me everything, and I'll have the FPA give you a deal." My mind fluttered in 100 directions. "What's an FPA? "Fairy prosecuting attorney, and don't deflect." I coughed, my throat so dry it was like swallowing sandpaper. "I don't..." My wings snapped shut, and I hit the ground. The lights brightened, then dimmed. "What are you talking about?" It'd been a simple mistake. Did this detective really think I was in league with some evil fairy? The door swung open again, and Tiger returned with a large glass. He slid it across the table. "Finn's teeth is." I stared at the lavender liquid. Bubbles rose to the top and popped like they hadn't a care in the woods. My eyes grew hot. He'd remembered it was my favorite. Ironflutter eyed the tea like she was going to knock it all the way to North Woods. I grabbed it before she could. My stomach was tight, but the liquid cooled my throat as I swallowed. The detective glared at Tiger. "This isn't a tea party, intern Sage Lake." He stood taller. "My rank is detective." "Only as of yesterday, and that can change." Tiger paled, but his face remained impassive. "Since this is still officially my case, I have some questions I'd like to ask the witness." Ironflutter sneered. "The suspect will remain in this room until she confesses. We'll be watching." She slammed out. Tiger settled onto a stool across the table and pointed me to the one opposite. I still didn't want to crease my dress, but my shaking legs and wings decided otherwise. I sank down. He nodded. "You look good." "Is this your way of softening me up so I'll confess?" His already arched eyebrows raised. "Do you have something to confess?" "Of course not." But my hands had gone full earthquake, and my underarms and temples decided now was a great time to bring on more sweat. Tiger's keen gaze took it all in. "Tell me about your day." My head spun as if I'd been caught in a whirlwind, and I dropped my face into my hands. A sob escaped. "It wasn't my fault." Chapter 3. Tiger handed me tissues while I blubbered, my carefully applied makeover dust running off my face like a rainbow melting into mud. I swiped at my tears, the tissues coming away smeared black by mascara. "Lovely." An officer burst into the room, rattling handcuffs. Tiger waved him away, but I let out another sob. His voice was soft. "Just tell me what happened, and I'll do everything I can to help you."
"Like you did everything you could to stay before?"
He grunted.
"That was for your own good."
My swirl of emotions found a target and swung toward him like a vortex drain.
"You didn't even ask what I wanted. You just decided for both of us."
"You couldn't have handled it, not after your dad."
"Leave him out of this."
"Oh, that's right. You never want to talk about anything. Just stuff it all down and pretend everything's fine, which I'm presuming is what landed you here."
I stood.
"You can't keep me, and I'd like my wand back."
A glittering spell locked the door from the outside.
Tiger cracked his neck and gestured to my seat. Neither of us is going anywhere until you tell me what happened. I sniffled. This was it. I'd lose my job and everything else. My mind fluttered to home. My mom, a shell of herself huddled on the couch, and the stack of Dad's medical bills that kept coming even after the funeral. If only I'd been there with the right ingredients to make a remedy before the poison.
Come on, Poppy.
Tiger's voice was soft. Tell me what happened. I shook my head. He groaned.
Fine. I'll tell you what we know, and you fill in the rest.
Bile rose in my throat. How could they know about it? Had anyone seen and reported me?
He went on. You had two deliveries. One to Lulu Frockmorton, the intern manager over at Fairy Godmother headquarters, and the other to the chocolatier Dee Dee Butternut. How am I doing so far?
Sparkly, like always. I sniffled, refusing to meet his eyes.
Dee Dee's was supposed to be a love potion, and Lulu's some kind of pick-me-up.
I shrugged. Penelope never gave me specifics, but why did he say, supposed to be?
He kept up his narration. You made your deliveries, and after that, Dee Dee disappeared, and Lulu has not been herself.
My eyes snapped up. He'd said nothing about my accident or the exploding boxes of chocolate.
You were the last one to see Dee Dee alive, and Penelope swears the chocolates in this box,
he pointed to the red package on the table between us,
aren't the ones she made.
My mouth opened, and my wings snapped. Penelope was trying to frame me for something? I've no idea what you're talking about. Dee Dee was fine when I left her. My stomach took swirling to a whole new level. I coughed, my eyes watering. They were accusing me of kidnapping? Murder? This was worse than losing my job. The room darkened and spun. My dress cinched tight, cutting off my air. I didn't.
Then tell me what you know.
There was no way out of this one. I swallowed. Everything was fine until I got to the tulip fields. At least, I thought it was. I was flying a bit fast. I had somewhere to be.
His frown deepened. Why didn't you refuse to do the deliveries?
Some of us like paying rent. My words jetted out like a defense spell. Iron Flutter's voice magically piped into the room with a telephone spell. So you decided to get revenge on Penelope by framing her for murder?
I stood, backing to the corner.
Dee Dee's dead?
I didn't know her well, but she'd always been nice. More tears sprang to my eyes. Tiger fisted his hand, glaring at the mirror, which was obviously one of those two-way windows. There's no body, so no one has been accused of murder.
Yet,
Iron Flutter's disembodied voice said.
I exhaled, my shoulders falling. So Dee Dee's okay?
Tiger raised his hands. She's still missing. He glared again at the mirror. We just need your help to piece together what might have happened.
Okay. I gulped. I took that corner on Tulip Way too fast and crashed into the garden outside Mary Bell Wick's place.
I sniffled.
The two boxes exploded, chocolates going everywhere.
I took a long pull on my drink. He motioned for me to continue. And?
I lifted my hands. I froze them in the air to keep them off the ground.
He leaned back, those muscular arms crossed over his chest.
It had been a long time since I'd fallen into them. What would it be like, nope, not going there?
What happened next?
I sorted the chocolates, then wrapped the boxes back up.
My voice caught.
I put my head in my hands again. And then I wasn't sure what to do. I might have messed up.
I sniffled. He leaned forward. By dropping them in poison?
Don't be absurd. Didn't you hear the part about not letting them fall to the ground?
He rubbed his forehead. Then what was so bad?
I sniffled. I mixed up the cards. Penelope is going to fire me for this, and we have all these...
I cut off, not going to tell him my woes. Was the other order poisoned?
I lifted my hands. We don't sell anything poisonous. Our chocolates are only dangerous to one's waistline. I made the deliveries and returned, and that's when you arrested me.
Detained you for questioning.
Either way, you have no reason to detain me. Penelope's the one you should be talking to. Iron Flutter slammed back into the room. You were the last one to see Dee Dee, and you delivered the chocolate to Lulu. So you're stuck here until we figure out what happened to both of them. More tears sprang to my eyes. Tonight was my only chance to talk to Brock alone. It wasn't like we were close, and the only times I saw him were in the store. Perhaps if I cooperated with Tiger and Iron Flutter, we could unravel the mess before the ball ended. Whatever it takes, I'll do it. Tiger raised a finger and motioned Iron Flutter outside. In less than a minute, they returned. Iron Flutter pointed at my nose. You and Detective Sagelake have until midnight to find what happened to Dee Dee and Lulu and reverse any spells. She glowered and motioned around her. If you don't, then get used to walls like these for the next 10 to 20. Chapter 4. If anyone needed some cheerful chocolates, it was that detective. Iron Flutter had kept my wand, but at least I was out of that dungeon-like room. Tiger and I had retraced my steps from the potion shop to Dee Dee's house. Just as they'd said, there was no sign of her. At least, not in the flesh. Plenty of mirror images, though. In the last few months, Dee Dee's shop had taken off, becoming one of the most popular places in Hidden Wood, and apparently, Dee Dee had kept track of her rising fame. Everywhere we looked, she'd hung images of herself holding different confections, winking at the camera, and often showing off her signature almond-shaped birthmark on her shoulder. She'd told reporters the mark was an exact replica of a cocoa pod and was a result of fate giving her the chocolate touch. Tiger showed me pictures of where they'd found the box from our store. Doesn't it seem odd to send a chocolatier chocolates? That was a mouthful. But yes, especially since Dee Dee was our supplier. I sniffed. Although Dee Dee was about to raise her prices. Tiger glanced my way. Giving Penelope motive to harm her? It's possible, but Penelope was convinced it wouldn't be a problem soon. His eyes narrowed. Why's that? I waved him off. Nothing sinister. Penelope was certain Brock Marzipan would ask her to marry him any day now. She's delusional, of course. That guy's an alley cat. The Sugar Shack guy? He slid his eyes over my ball gown. He's holding a party tonight. Suddenly warm. It wasn't like I'd planned on hitting on handsome Brock, but that fairy could flirt with a brick wall. If customers were in the store when he showed up, he'd talk them into armloads of merchandise. Yeah, I got flustered when he turned his charms on me, but Penelope was the one who fell all over herself to get his attention. And she'd been taking a lot of long lunges. They're definitely involved, but I think she's more serious than he is. Tiger's eyebrows raised. So Penelope was planning to switch chocolate suppliers? I snorted. No, she's planning to live happily ever after with Brock's bank accounts. We searched the rest of the house, passing through bedrooms that looked unused and a deck with an inviting set of tables and chairs. She even had an atrium with her own wand-charging tree and well. Birds chirped in the trees, and a couple toads croaked back. The smaller toad was tan with a bunch of spots, giving it great camouflage in the greenery. The other one had only one spot and was hopping around like a kid after 3 of Ginger Buttersnap's Kaboom sodas. Overhead, golden netting covered the courtyard, so the animals must have been pets. Tiger shook his head. Nothing out here. The toads and birds were getting louder. If she was here, she'd want to get away from all this noise. One of the toads chose that moment to leap at me. I screeched and darted upward, heart hammering. Some toads did mistake us for snacks. At least, that was the excuse they gave. It leapt again, tongue darting out. I barely escaped, my heavy ball gown slowing me. Tiger grabbed me and zoomed upward. You okay? I panted. Guess it was hungry. Should we feed it? We have less than 3 hours before midnight. He headed back into the house. Wait. I pointed down to where a sliver of red paper was caught in the bushes. That looks like one of our chocolate wrappers. Stay here. Tiger dove down, zooming between branches. The toad jumped for him. I squealed and swept down, clapping to get the toad's attention. It glanced my way, hopping toward me. I dodged but crashed into a bush. My dress ripped, and my hair got caught on a branch. The toad leapt again, its ruby-red eyes wide and its maw open to swallow me. I screamed and scrambled to get away. A fist hit the toad's nose, sending it back to the ground. Tiger yanked me up, ripping a petal off my dress. But the toad was jumping again. We flapped furiously and zipped upward. I leaned against his arm, panting. Thanks. Below, the toad was croaking like mad. Tiger glared down. You speak toad? No, but I speak cat. If we see one, I'll be sure to give it this address. Tiger chortled. Never knew Poppy Appletwist could be so savage. I shook out my torn skirt. You do have a history of underestimating me. That's not fair. I ignored him and zoomed inside to Dee Dee's huge kitchen. Tiger followed, studying the chocolate wrapper. Think it might have any potion residue? It's possible. I zipped around, searching for something to protect the wrapper, and found two stacks of chocolate-filled boxes from Dee Dee's shop inside a cabinet. Tiger's eyes narrowed at the stack. How much of this stuff does a person need? He used his wand tip to flick open the tiny cards on the boxes. I started on the other side. He pointed. There's one for Penelope, and another for Brock. He looked through more. Do you have the guest list for the ball? My guess is she was planning to attend and bring these as gifts. The toad chose that moment to slam against the glass, still trying to eat us. I jolted, but was focused on a box with Lulu's name on it. It was empty, except for a card inside that read, You're next. I elbowed him. No idea about the guest list, but this one's for Lulu. Think she's at the ball? Tiger cleared his throat. Oh, she's there, all right. Chapter 5. You're next. The threatening message to Lulu kept rattling around in my head. Had Dee Dee faked a disappearance in order to somehow sneak up on and harm Lulu? Or did someone else wish to harm Lulu? Tiger had been silent on the flight over to Brock's mansion, and by the deep furrows across his forehead, he was every bit as concerned as me. Brock's estate was lit up by 1,000 fireflies buzzing in organized routines overhead. Bet he'd paid a pretty coin for that. Firefly dance troops didn't come cheap. Music spilled over the hedges, and splashes sounded from his swimming pond. Fancy-dressed fairies flitted in and out of the golden gates. One glanced my way, doing a double take. I hesitated, remembering my crying spell that caused the makeup avalanche, not to mention the wrestling match I'd lost with that bush when escaping the murderous toad. I can't go in there like this. Tiger motioned to my dress. Why not? There's only a few smudges. And that missing part. But you're so pretty, no one will notice. We both paused. He cleared his throat. I mean, you look fine. I'm a total mess. He'd called me pretty. My wings fluffed outward, but that was ridiculous. Who cared what he thought? Not me, nope. Do you have a pocket mirror? Perhaps I could wipe off the worst of the smudges. He snorted. Yeah, I keep it with my lipstick. He cast a tell-me-the-time spell. It's 10:30. We don't have long. I groaned. Tiger, tell me honestly if my makeup is smeared. He swallowed. Not much. Thank you, Detective Understatement. Know any makeover spells? Yes, I learned a ton of those at the Academy. Let me borrow your wand. He shook his head. I can't. Iron Flutter was very clear about that being part of your release agreement. You really think I'm a flight risk? He pursed his lips. No. But rules are rules, and Iron Flutter will arrest you if she finds you even holding my wand. I groaned. It wasn't like I could teach him a makeup spell on the go, and I wouldn't want his first try to be on me. Plus, poor Lulu might be in danger. Fine, let's go. He waved me forward. You look great. Have you always been this good of a liar? The ball was every bit as spectacular as I'd imagined. Hundreds of guests milled about the grounds, dancing, eating, and drinking. A fountain in front of Brock's house had been filled with bubbly twinkle spritzers. Fairies dipped crystal glasses in the cascading liquid, giggling and swooping in large loops overhead, spilling their drinks on the lawn and refilling them. One fairy lazed by, pausing when she caught sight of me. She said nothing, but zipped back to her friends. A second later, they had turned our way and were pointing and laughing. I hissed to Tiger. You said I looked fine.
He motioned me forward. We've got to find Lulu if Brock hasn't had her arrested.
I thought she was the one in danger, so why would he do that?
You'll see.
That's when the singing started. Maybe singing wasn't the right word. Caterwauling? Warbling? Assaulting hearing with a deadly weapon?
We zipped around the side of the house. Guests on a large patio all stared in horror in the direction of a gazebo set up for karaoke. Water fairies covered their ears and dove into a nearby pond, desperate to get away from the noise. I pressed my hands over my ears.
Sounds like we found Lulu.
Chapter 6.
Most of the fairies in Hidden Wood knew or knew of Lulu Throckmorton. As manager of the Fairy Godmother Headquarters intern program, she was often featured in advertisements for FGH. She'd also just announced she would be supervising the upcoming Fairy Godmother Trials competition. With her curling brown hair and button nose, she'd always been beautiful. But bright red cheeks, along with a scarlet polka-dotted ball gown, had lent her the appearance of an overripe strawberry. Not that I was one to talk about appearances. She didn't seem worried about her outfit, though. She was holding her wand like one of those human microphones and belting out a song, every note magically amplified with a cast-me spell. The words to Fitzy Dittenby's Happily Ever After Begins With You took on a whole new meaning coming from Lulu's bright red lips. She pointed, singing,
"We were meant to be, you and me, you and me!"
At the vibrato blasting from Lulu's lungs, Tiger and I cowered and covered our ears. And we weren't the only ones. She had some major pipes. Too bad they were rustier than an ancient garden gate. Still, I followed the direction of her point. Brock Marzipan was ducking behind a bush. Lulu flapped into the air, singing,
"You can't hide from love!"
Brock took off running, and Lulu sent a sparkling spell in his direction. A silver lasso snared him, dragging him back. He kicked and hollered. My boss, Penelope, burst out of the main house in a flutter of black satin and wings.
"I'll save you, Bunny Bear!"
She grabbed the lasso, tugging to free a wide-eyed Brock. Lulu hit an ear-piercing high note and conjured another rope. With a cackle, she snared my boss around the waist and tossed her into the pond. Penelope came up sputtering and shrieking. That's when she spotted me.
"You did this! You're fired!"
Chapter 7.
Ball guests pointed, gasped, and laughed at Lulu chasing Brock around the pond. The usually dignified fairy godmother yelled that he didn't have to be afraid of his feelings in between hiccups. Any other day, I might have been laughing along with the others, but my head swam. Fired. By the fae, I couldn't lose my job. We had overdue bills piled so high I could build a wall with them. It'd been all I could do to keep the house, but we were weeks away from the bank repossessing it. Tiger put an arm around my shoulder.
"You okay?"
I shook my head, and tears burned in my eyes. I've worked so hard, slaved away with no complaints each and every stinking time she gave me extra work or took credit for my ideas. I did everything possible, including improving her inventory system and store organization. I made deliveries on my non-existent days off, and that toad of a fairy has the nerve to fire me?
Toad? That's an interesting choice in words.
I brushed his hand off my shoulder.
Will you stop being a detective for 2 whole minutes and just listen?
He tucked his chin. I'm sorry. I'm here. Listening. I gave him a double take, bracing for a snarky reply. But he waited. I sniffled again.
It's just... Penelope's so inconsiderate.
He nodded. I didn't mean to imply anything, but if you talk to Ironflutter again, don't say anything that might make her think you want revenge on Penelope. She will conclude that you spelled the orders to frame your boss.
Former boss. And what is Ironflutter's problem anyhow? Does she hate everyone, or is it just me?
She's been amped up since the wand got stolen. It's nothing personal.
I caught a whiff of hot chocolate and hazelnut tarts from the buffet, and my stomach growled.
As soon as we help Lulu, maybe we can grab...
Tiger tackled me out of the way as love-struck Lulu and panicked Brock raced by.
We tumbled and wound up in a heap in the grass. I pushed up on my elbows, suddenly face to face with him. Time slowed, and Lulu's warbling faded. It was just me and Tiger. He slid a hand up my arm and whispered, "Poppy." I hadn't realized I'd been cold until his warm arm wrapped around me. I stretched upward. Lulu screeched for her bitty baby Brock to come back, and both of us jolted, coming out of whatever ridiculous spell had enchanted us. I scrambled out from under him. He blinked and stared at the pair flitting back and forth above us. "You think she got the love potion chocolates?"
"Penelope's not talented enough to make a love potion like that."
"Are you?"
I lifted a shoulder and thought of the potion I'd brewed at home last week. I'd tried asking Mom's expert potion-making opinion, but she'd refused to leave the couch. It was my best batch yet. Just needed to be individualized and tested on some willing subjects. "Well, sure, but I'd be careful about portion sizes. Love potion should enhance the feelings that are already there, not hijack a person's mind."
"What's wrong with Penelope's potion?"
"She doesn't pay attention to the little things, and hers is one size fits all. Improving her love potion would be a simple matter of a bit more cayenne pepper, lowering the granulated sugar, and reading a romance novel over the cauldron."
"You read romance novels to your potions?"
"Not all of them." I gave him a side eye. "Who tutored whom in potions back in school? And who got the highest score in the history of the potion exit exam?" He held up his hands.
"I didn't mean to offend, but you have to admit, it sounds ridiculous."
I couldn't hide my laugh. "I suppose it does, but it's not just the literature. Penelope never focuses on the ties." He froze and gave me a sideways glance.
"I'm not going to ask."
I shoved his arm. "Not like tying someone with a rope. I mean the things that would tie a particular couple together. For a love potion to work, it must be individualized, not mass-produced."
Tiger tipped his head back to watch Lulu's progress. "That is one determined fairy. You said they were special orders. Think there's something Penelope isn't telling you?"
I swallowed. Mind on my secret stash of potion. If Penelope had used something like that in the wrong amount, this could be the result. But it was hidden at my house.
It's possible. Lulu dipped lower, then gained altitude, up and down like a hiccup.
I thought back to the note in that box for Lulu. "You're next." What did it mean? "Tiger, we need to help her."
That was when Detective Ironflutter showed up and gasped,
"Lulu's been poisoned!"
Chapter 8. We raced forward as Lulu took a nosedive toward the dessert buffet. Tiger cast an easy-does-it spell, but she still plowed into a six-tiered chocolate cake. Frosting and pastry splatted all over my dress. All over Tiger, too. We grabbed Lulu's underarms and hefted her up. Ironflutter cast the emergency summons spell, and we settled Lulu on the ground. I leaned in and sniffed. Ironflutter blocked me.
"What do you think you're doing? Trying to remove the evidence?"
"With what wand?"
She sneered.
"Or maybe planting some?"
"There's no pockets in this dress."
The one flaw of the garment, aside from it being systematically destroyed over the last few hours. Lulu was still breathing, and she had a pulse, although it was thready. Tiger's eyebrows bunched together. "You think she had too much to drink?"
I shook my head, sniffing again. It was hard to get past all the chocolate and grass scents, not to mention the perfumes and colognes of the people crowding us. "Tell everyone to get back."
Ironflutter had fallen to her knees beside Lulu. She patted the fallen fairy's face.
"Lulu? Lulu, please!"
Tears bubbled in the otherwise gritty detective's eyes.
"Hey," I spoke in the softest voice I could manage. "Let me see if I can help her."
Tiger barked orders for everyone to get back. The words, "Help will arrive in 2 minutes," lit up overhead, part of the ESNN, or the Emergency Spell Notification Network. I leaned in close to Lulu, trying to ignore Ironflutter's constant glare. "I'm getting notes of cacao, cardamom, cayenne pepper, vanilla, cinnamon, honey, lemon, and vinegar, mustard, and celery?" I sat up straight. "That's strange. The scent is off for Penelope's love potion."
But some of those ingredients were prominent in my love potion. Tiger kneeled beside us.
So she ate some cookies and barbecue. Who cares?
I need your wand. Ironflutter caught my hand.
Not so fast. I know your kind and the tricks you pull. No wands.
Tiger made a low noise. I faced Ironflutter. I can help her. Unless you can cast a now-you-see-it spell specified to reveal potion ingredients and food interactions.
She made a face, but motioned to Tiger.
Hand over your wand.
She pulled out her own, pointing it at my throat.
And if you so much as twitch in the wrong direction, you'll wish you were headed to jail.
Thanks for not making this more tense. I focused my spell on minuscule details. My mind filled with images of tarts, fruits, chocolate, petite fours, and bacon?
No.
I shot upright.
Dark spells. She mixed bacon and a love potion. That's like swimming right after you eat a heavy meal, and...
I focused again.
The chocolates she got from us were tainted with a powerful love potion, much more powerful than the kind Penelope can mix up.
I stared at my dress, thinking of the cost of such a fine garment. Mom hadn't spoken to most of her friends since the funeral, so who would owe her a favor of this magnitude? But I knew someone who might come to Mom for a real love potion to sell in her chocolates. My heart thumped in my ribcage. That might mean...
What?
Ironflutter grabbed my shoulder.
Spill it, or I'll cast a tell-me-no-lies and squeeze it out of you.
I blinked at the detective. You have some serious problems.
You're about to have problems if you don't fess up. What poison did you give her?
I exhaled. It's not poison. But Penelope might have gotten some of my love potion and put the wrong dose into the chocolates.
The love potion you poisoned?
Tiger let out a growl.
For the last time, Ironflutter, Poppy didn't poison anyone, so shut up and let her work.
Ironflutter's mouth snapped closed. Tiger lifted his chin to me.
Is she in danger?
I nodded. Bacon and an overdose of love potion can have adverse reactions, especially in the presence of mustard. We have to reverse the effects immediately. I tossed his wand back and pointed at the hot chocolate cart. She needs pure sugar, and lots of it. Absolutely no salt. Tiger pointed his wand, and a bag of sugar shot toward us. Together, we sat Lulu up. I patted her face, trying to pour a bit in her mouth.
She's too far gone. The only reason she held on this long was that her diet mainly consists of desserts.
Tiger waved his wand at the hot chocolate cart again, and an entire carafe of hot liquid sailed toward us, along with a mug.
Good thinking.
I dumped sugar into the cup, and he poured hot liquid on top. Together, we got Lulu to drink the sludgy cocoa. Her eyes opened. They were red-rimmed, but narrowed and furious.
Detective Ironflutter clutched her wand. Lulu, who did this to you?
Lulu pointed at me and said,
Ivory Winkleclover,
then passed out again. Chapter 9. If it were possible, the interrogation room was gloomier than before. Tiger had told Ironflutter about the note we'd found, but because of Lulu's accusation, Ironflutter had immediately jumped to the conclusion that I'd planted the threatening message to take suspicion off myself. Why had Lulu pointed to me when she'd said Ivory Winkleclover did this to her? I had nothing to do with that fairy's wand-stealing spell-casting schemes. The harsh detective leaned over the table, flapping her silver wings, pointing at me.
We found traces of a spell on that wrapper from Dee Dee's, and the only set of prints on that note to Lulu were yours.
Because I picked it up to show Tiger.
Which you did to give yourself an alibi.
She narrowed her eyes.
You obviously met up with Ivory and had her curse the chocolates. Or maybe you owed her a favor and tipped a potion over the chocolates before delivering them.
I groaned, but it was Tiger who spoke.
She saved Lulu's life. If it hadn't been for her, Lulu could have been gone before the emergency healers arrived.
Ironflutter gripped her wand.
Then maybe you are Ivory in disguise. She'd know how to reverse the effects of her own potion.
She aimed a spell at me. Tiger yelled,
No!
But it was too late. A bright light covered me, heating more with each second. I screamed, falling forward. I registered thumps and shouts. The lights winked out. Then nothing. I let out a sob. Hello?
No one answered.
What had that toad Ironflutter done to me?
I let out another sob. My whole body hurt, and everything was hazy. Was I blind? I blinked and turned in a circle. There, a light glowed under the door. So maybe my eyes weren't the problem. Was I still in the interrogation room? Or had they moved me? And what was I supposed to do? I'd been fired. I thought of the potions I'd brewed at home. What if I was right, and Mom had sold my inventory to Penelope? Or worse, sold her the rights to my recipe? Dirk, Fay, we'd be finished. I sank to the ground, surrounded by the ruined dress, a metaphor for the rest of my life. I fingered the soft petals, knowing the truth was as plain as the birthmark on Dee Dee Butternut's arm. Mom had sold my potion to Penelope and used the money to buy this dress. That could make me culpable in the mess with Lulu and Dee Dee. I dropped my head into my hands. Why hadn't Mom told me? Not only had she done this behind my back, but I'd never have spent that money on a garment. We could have paid off at least one creditor. And now? Mom would be on the streets, and I'd be in jail. Another sob hit me. Surely it was close to midnight. We'd reversed the potion for Lulu in time, so I hoped she'd have no lasting effects other than a drilling headache and a bad case of embarrassment. But what about Dee Dee? Where was she? And what about Tiger? Ugh, this was just like before. The memory of when he'd told me he'd enrolled in the academy still pressed on my chest like the weight of a giant pumpkin coach. He'd come to my house late that night. I don't think you can handle it.
We don't know until we try.
Your dad died in the line of duty, Poppy. What kind of fairy would I be to put you through that kind of pain every time I went to work? It would be too hard.
You don't know that. You don't get to decide how I feel.
He'd shaken his head.
I'd pleaded. Then do something else. We love each other. Being together is what matters.
Being a cop is what I've always wanted. It's who I am, who my dad is.
I'd grabbed his hand. Just because your mom left doesn't mean I will.
He'd refused to listen and hadn't looked back. And once again, when things got difficult, Tiger Sagelake had left me behind. I picked at a rip in the dress, and my mind went to Dee Dee. Wait, what had I thought a moment ago? Plain as Dee Dee's birthmark. I shot up and shouted, feeling around the stone walls for that mirror and pounding on the smooth surface.
I know where Dee Dee is. Someone, please, let me out. We can save her if we go now, but we need a remedy potion.
The door banged open, and the lights flashed on, revealing Tiger. He looked a mess. The side of his face was red, like he'd taken a punch, and his uniform was gone. He'd changed into a black t-shirt and dark trousers. How about we get out of here?
I fluttered to my feet. What happened to you?
He handed me my wand. Just some administrative negotiations. Come on, I made bail for you.
I gasped. I've been arrested?
It won't stick, but let's go while we can.
That didn't sound good, but I needed to focus on the important. I think we can save Dee Dee, but I need to make a stop first.
He waved his hand. Lead the way.
Chapter 10.
I sent a mirror message for Mom to meet us at Penelope's. I wasn't sure if Mom would come, or about the ethics of using Penelope's potion ingredients, especially after she'd fired me, but a life was at stake.
Tiger and I slipped inside the shop.
I'd explained on the way that we needed to make a remedy to save Dee Dee from permanently becoming a toad.
He rubbed his forehead. What makes you think the toad is Dee Dee?
Toads often have spots, and that jumpy one at her house had only a single spot, just like her birthmark.
How sure are you?
90%. But the potion won't hurt the toad if it's not Dee Dee. We have to try.
I pointed out ingredients for Tiger to grab. He handed me several vials. I thought we had until midnight on the third day to reverse transformation spells.
That's for a specific type of transformation curse. Potion is different.
His eyes flitted to the clock. 11:30. Are we going to get there in time?
Of course. There was no way, but I kept that to myself and prayed for a miracle.
We dropped ingredients like baking soda, sugar, cocoa, and coconut cream into the cauldron.
My heart hammered while I stirred. Not going to make it. Not going to...
Someone banged on the door. Numbness flashed through my chest.
Was it Iron Flutter coming to arrest me again? Tiger rushed to the door. I stared at the potion. It wasn't cooking fast enough, but if I turned it higher, it would burn. Maybe if I sent Tiger to Didi's to bring her back? No, we didn't have time for that either, especially if the toad really was trying to eat us. Tiger zoomed back in with, Mom! She'd pulled her hair back and wore an old dress, one of Dad's favorites. As if this was a normal day, she fluttered to my side, grabbing an apron. With a quick sniff of the cauldron, she pointed out ingredients and had the two of us dashing back and forth. The clock read 11:45. My heart was hammering in my throat. Mom, it has to simmer for 10 more minutes. She smirked and pulled out a tiny vial. This will speed it up. She screwed off the stopper. Tiger and I shot backward, coughing. I held a rag over my face to cut the fumes. What is that? Distilled zombie peppers. It'll strip the varnish off even the worst rust, but it can speed up a potion perfectly. Too much, and the building will explode. Tiger swallowed. Then let me do it. You two get to safety. Mom shook her head. You'd get it wrong. It has to be me. There wasn't time to argue. Tiger grabbed my hand, pulling me toward the exit. We'll just wait out here. Outside, he pressed me against a wall and hovered in front of me, both of us bracing for the worst. Stop playing around, kids. Mom fluttered up behind us, handing me a corked vial. We have a toad to save. Tiger and I took off for Didi's. No time to spare. Chapter 11. The palace tower's clock struck the first ring of midnight when we reached Didi's gate. The second when we reached her locked doors. The third when we flew around looking for an entrance. The fourth and fifth while we tried to pull open the netting over her atrium. I yelled, "We're not going to make it!" Tiger flew around the rear side. The sixth chime of the clock. He grabbed a deck chair and lobbed it through a window. An alarm went off, and spell writing appeared over our heads. The police have been summoned. The seventh strike. Tiger kicked out the jagged piece of glass and motioned for me to follow him. We zipped into the atrium. Chime number 8. I flew in circles. Didi, we're here to save you. Where are you? The ninth chime. Tiger found a light switch and pointed to the ground. Over here. I dashed closer, but the frog was covered in spots. That's not her. We kept searching. Chime 10. Chime 11. A pitiful bloop sounded. We dove lower. Toad Didi had gotten caught in the well. I motioned for her to jump and doused her in potion just as the last chime sounded. The other toad leapt for us, ready for a snack. Tiger yanked me upward, panting. He held me tight, fluttering higher. Think we got here in time? I don't know. Lights flashed inside the house. Iron Flutter slammed open the atrium door. You're both under arrest. Tiger pulled me behind him. For what? Saving Didi? Iron Flutter let out a bark of a laugh. Breaking and entering. Burglary, theft, poisoning. I could go on. Penelope fluttered up behind her. Yes, arrest them both. I huffed, leaning around Tiger, who was still shielding me. That's rich, coming from you. You're the one who switched the love potions and made Lulu sick. She scoffed. It's that cow's fault. She ate the entire box. Even an entire box of your love potion wouldn't cause that reaction. Where do you get the real potion? Who's the one that's been brewing potion behind my back? I'm going to sue you for copyright infringement. Copyright? Ha! My wings snapped shut. It's my own recipe, because trust me, yours generates as much feeling as a cup of tepid tea. Penelope gestured toward me so hard, half her hair came loose. You can add defamation to your list of legal troubles. I pointed back. You can add overdosing to the list of yours. Those chocolates you gave Lulu contained over 3 times the recommended dose. She made an noise. Your incompetence messed everything up. Didi was supposed to get the love potion, wherever that toad is. That toad is right here, Penelope Honeydew. Didi emerged from the well, soaking wet and red-faced. She advanced on Penelope. We are through. I will never distribute chocolates under you again. You...
Toad?
Tiger said. Didi, Penelope, and I whirled on him. He held up his hands. Too soon? Didi rounded back on Penelope. but Penelope flapped higher and pointed at Dee Dee.
She's the one who ordered those chocolates for Lulu.
Iron Flutter hissed air through her teeth, focusing a snarl on Dee Dee.
You did that to my cousin?
Ah, that explained her wrath. Dee Dee fluttered backward.
Did what?
I said, Lulu got the love potion gone wrong while you got a toad transformation one. Dee Dee scoffed, rounding on Penelope.
You're an idiot. I ordered cheerful chocolates for Lulu.
My forehead wrinkled. But what about your note to Lulu? You're next. Dee Dee made a low noise.
Like that's anyone's business.
Iron Flutter crossed her arms.
It's my business if you don't want to be arrested.
Dee Dee rubbed her temples.
If you must know, I'd recently received a proposal and was encouraging Lulu that she'd be next.
Iron Flutter pursed her lips, eyeing the lot of us.
Then who ordered the toad potion?
Penelope gestured to me.
Ask Miss Potion Master over there. As she said, my recipes don't work, and I don't even carry transformation spells.
I gasped. This was like one of those spinning carnival rides that kept coming around at the same point.
I didn't put anything in anyone's chocolates, and if I had, the spell would have reversed at midnight, so I wouldn't have been in a rush to get here.
A whistle had my ears ringing worse than Lulu's singing. Iron Flutter shouted,
You're all under arrest!
Chapter 12. There weren't enough chairs in the interrogation room. Dee Dee and Penelope sat on the ends, while Tiger, Mom, and I filled in the middle. Iron Flutter stood opposite us, rubbing her temples.
You're still not making sense.
I cleared my throat.
It's simple. Brock Marzipan ordered a love potion for Dee Dee from Penelope's potions.
Why?
Asked Iron Flutter. Penelope groaned.
Because that idiot wanted to make her fall in love with him so he could merge his sugar store with her chocolate empire.
Dee Dee gasped.
So that's why he proposed, that rat.
It was Penelope's turn to gasp.
He asked you to marry him?
I wasn't letting my former boss off easy. But you switched the love potions. You infused Dee Dee's truffles with my more potent one, and at 3 times the recommended dose. Dee Dee let out another gasp.
So you were trying to poison me.
Don't be so dramatic, Penelope said. I merely wanted you to make a fool of yourself at Brock's ball.
And why would you do that? Iron Flutter asked.
Isn't it obvious?
I asked. Penelope's in love with Brock. Penelope huffed.
Fine, it's true. Are you happy?
She wiped a tear.
I just wanted him to see I was the better choice.
Mom let out a low sound.
He'd make a good toad.
Iron Flutter gave Mom a stern look.
That'll be enough of that, Kelsey.
Mom motioned for her to continue. Iron Flutter tapped her wand in her hand.
Then who ordered the toad chocolates?
Dee Dee said,
I ordered cheerful chocolates for Lulu because she has been so upset over the missing wand fiasco. And the other thing I mentioned, she's one of my best customers. Why would I poison her?
Everyone looked at Penelope. She raised her hands.
You think I'm dumb enough to anger one of the godmothers? I'd prefer not to be given a tail or
turned into a toad,
Dee Dee said with narrowed eyes. Penelope raised her hands.
I swear I had nothing to do with that.
Everyone looked at me. I lifted my hands, too.
I had an accident and mixed up the tags on the boxes, but I didn't spell the orders.
Iron Flutter slammed her wand onto the table.
Then who am I arresting?
Lulu strode in.
I told you it was Ivory Winkle Clover.
Iron Flutter pointed her wand at me.
Her?
Tiger dove in front of me.
You're not spelling Poppy again.
I gasped, a memory stirring.
The customer.
Everyone glanced my way. Penelope said,
What now?
I motioned to her.
The one at the end of the day. She kept asking me about guarantees and freshness and made me get boxes from the back of the store.
Penelope lifted her shoulder.
So, that's called customer service, not that you'd know.
Tiger took my hand. Poppy was the best employee you'll ever have, and you didn't deserve her. I stared at our joined hands.
Wow.
But that could wait. Did you keep an eye on the deliveries on the counter? She huffed.
That was your job. While I was in the back? I groaned. She could have spelled the orders while I was occupied.
Dee Dee was wringing her hands as if all this arguing was making her sick. Penelope pointed.
This incompetence is why I fired you.
Ironflutter glared her way.
That's rather unreasonable. You can't possibly expect someone to be in two places at once.
Dee Dee jumped to her feet, knocking her stool over. She said,
Oh no,
and fainted. Chapter 13. Much to Ironflutter's disappointment, she had to let all of us go. 3 days later, someone knocked on my front door. I set aside a stack of Dee Dee's Dewberry chocolate cream boxes and yelled to Mom,
I'll get it.
I found Tiger leaning against the doorway, holding a bouquet of flowers. I glanced behind him.
Expecting another guy with flowers?
Oh, no, sorry. Delivery fairy. I motioned him inside and took the flowers. They're lovely. What's the occasion?
An apology, for starters.
He lifted his chin to the stacks of boxes.
So, you're all set up?
Yeah. Dee Dee offered to let me distribute her chocolates with my potions, provided I don't overdose anyone. Tiger chuckled.
Always a good call.
Mom bustled out of the kitchen, propping goggles onto her head.
And we're starting a new line of potions.
Tiger raised his eyebrows.
You planning to turn more people into toads?
Mom waved that off, although I had a few ideas along those lines. She held up a small vial, the most alive I'd seen her since Dad died.
Remedies.
He looked thoughtful.
I wonder if the fairies in the intelligence division could use something like this for their spies.
A grin brightened Mom's face.
I'll give them a call.
She hustled back to the kitchen. Although Tiger had been to our house hundreds of times in the past, he seemed too big for the space now. I motioned him in further. We'd been so busy in the last 3 days that we'd hardly talked. How's Dee Dee?
She's recovered, but has hired 2 bodyguards and refuses to leave home.
I finished wrapping another shipment. What has her so scared? Tiger helped me stack boxes next to the door.
Lulu and Ironflutter believe Dee Dee made a deal with Ivory. Her chocolate business boomed not long after the Wand of Power was stolen. There was most likely a quid pro quo with the deal, which Dee Dee might not have liked. This incident has all the markings of Ivory sending a message to Dee Dee. According to Lulu and Ironflutter, Ivory put the toad spell on Lulu's cheerful chocolates to either frame Dee Dee or Penelope for the crime.
Why Penelope? Do you think she made a deal with Ivory as well?
Ironflutter found out Penelope's rent had been raised, and the shop was in trouble. That old detective will keep digging until she sniffs out all the evidence in this case.
I don't doubt that. He inspected a love potion box.
Would these work on you?
Perhaps, if the conditions were right. He fluttered closer.
What conditions would that be?
I caught a hint of his cologne, sweet almond and musky citrus. He shifted closer, only millimeters away. I had to tip my head to look up at him. Were you wanting to make an order?
Think I need them?
Depends on your situation. Why don't you tell me about it, and I'll give you my professional opinion. He laced his fingers into mine.
You see, there's this amazing fairy. She's everything I ever wanted, but I was an idiot a few years ago.
Tingles and shivers followed the trail of his fingers to my shoulder. Tell me more about your idiocy.
The depths of my stupidity are too deep to mine, but I was scared.
He leaned down. I stretched up, so close. And now?
And now I hope I can spend the next several weeks.
I cleared my throat and gave a slight shake of my head.
Months, I meant. Months making up for it. If she'll have me back.
He leaned even closer. My heart took off and my eyelids fluttered closed. So, what's your question?
Do I need a love potion to make her fall in love with me?
Do you love her? He pulled me into an embrace.
Always. I love you always, Poppy Appletwist. Will you take me back?
I pressed my lips to his. After a long, delicious moment, he pulled back.
So, about that love potion?
Shut up and kiss me again. As I held him close, I knew this was the permanent kind of magic that wouldn't wear off at midnight. I fluttered higher and whispered, I love you too, Tiger Sage Lake.
I hope you enjoyed listening to The Midnight Disappointment by Jennifer Dyer, narrated by Corinne Norton. If you want to read more by Jennifer, go to jenniferdyerbooks.com to find more of her books. If you enjoyed this story in particular, you can sign up for her newsletter to grab more of her cute fairy godmother in training stories. But if you're in the mood for something with higher stakes, you can also grab her latest high-stakes hacker thriller, The Donor. I'll have a direct link for it in the show notes. Don't forget about this month's giveaway with tons of great books from our current and past featured authors. You can enter at findingfantasyreads.com/giveaway. As crazy as it sounds, I'm already booking stories and authors for January. So if you've thought about applying or suggesting a story for us to feature, don't wait. Check out the contact page on the website where you can find an application form for authors as well as a contact form for readers. You'll find both at findingfantasyreads.com/contact. As always, I will have links for any of the sites I've mentioned in the show notes. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading.